want to talk more about the situation in Ciudad Juarez. As Ana Maria Salazar points out, that's not the only place in Mexico where women are experiencing violence. But the numbers in Juarez are truly staggering. More than 400 women and girls within the past dozen years have been killed, many of them tortured, their bodies dumped in the desert. And after all this time, there are still questions about who killed these women and why. For Teresa Rodriguez, these murders have become an obsession. Her investigation of the story turned into a book, The Daughters of Juarez, a true story of serial murder south of the border. Univision's Teresa Rodriguez joins us from member station WLRN in Miami. Teresa Rodriguez, welcome.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me.
You've been working on this story for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. When did it become clear that these were not isolated cases? I mean, how many women died before a pattern was established?
Well, I first was made aware of this story reading some Wire stories, and that was back in 98. And at the time, you were talking about upwards of 200 women who had been murdered, whose bodies had been found in the desert outside Ciudad Juarez. And I said, wow, you know, in this country, the United States, when someone is missing, immediately there's an Amber Alert issued, and all of a sudden you see that person's face on TV, you read about it online, you hear about it on the radio, you're bombarded with this information. How could it be possible that only a few minutes away from our border, so many young women had been missing, and many of them had been found dead in the desert, and we didn't know about it? So that's when it first caught my eye, Michelle.
What happened when family members went to the authorities?
Well, you know, the families would go and report their daughter missing, and they were told, oh, she's probably out with a boyfriend. Why don't you come back, you know, in a few days and see if she's still missing? She'll come back in a few days. And they would say, no, my daughter doesn't have a boyfriend. They said, well, was she wearing a miniskirt, high heels? Maybe she led a double life. And they said, how could you possibly, you know, think that my daughter led a double life? You know, she was a good student, a good kid. She went to school. She worked. When she left school, then she would come home. That was the indifference. That was the attitude that prevailed.
Tell us about Juarez. Tell us what kind of town is it? What's it known for?
Well, you know, traditionally, border towns are violent. You've got a lot of prostitution, contraband, drugs. And Ciudad Juarez has all of the above. The powerful drug cartel, Juarez drug cartel. You've got the factories. Basically what it was, the majority of them are American factories who opened up shop south of the border so that they could produce their goods at a much cheaper rate. And they welcomed women on the assembly line because women had smaller hands, they were quicker, so they were quite a commodity. So for the first time, you had these women who were bringing home a paycheck. And boy, there was resentment from a lot of the male members of the community.
Does someone think that that's related to these murders?
Yeah, I mean, the bodies began to appear in 93, shortly after the factories began to operate in Ciudad Juarez. So there is a correlation there. Besides that, at the beginning, Michelle, there was a pattern where the victims were all slender, almond-shaped eyes, the dark brown hair, pretty girls, and they were above all poor. So they would walk for long periods of time, often at 5, you know, 4 in the morning in order to get to work by 6 or 7. So they were easy prey. You know, these murderers knew exactly who they were going after. And not only that, there was a pattern that developed. Not only were they abducted, usually on their way to or from work, but they were raped. They were mutilated. Many of them had their left nipples bitten off. Some were burned. And many were strangled with the shoelaces from their sneakers.
Did none of these crimes cause an outcry among the authorities? Did even the age of these victims cause there to be an uprising?
Yeah, there was. I mean, and there were many human rights groups as well that sprung up, and there were marches and vigils and candlelight and prayers and whatnot. But, you know, you had the drug cartel, and then you had, you know, a handful of leading businessmen. And one of the theories was that these businessmen on both sides of the border may have been responsible in conjunction with the cartel for a number of the killings. And that on top of it, members of Mexico's law enforcement may also be complicit in some of the crimes. So obviously, you're also talking about a police department that is corrupt. And then on top of it, if you did have some businessmen who may have been working at these factories who already knew the routine and knew what some of the schedules were of some of these girls, they may have, you know, done their dirty work on this side, paid off some corrupt officials to, you know, destroy the evidence, and then go back to their homes in El Paso and live a normal life.
So you've mentioned a number of theories that are at work. Does that mean that there has never been any conclusive resolution to these crimes?
Well, that all depends on who you talk to. There have been some people who have been arrested, convicted, and they, to this day, swear they are innocent of these crimes. One of them already died. He died in jail. Whether he did them or not, he said he didn't.
So what do you think has been the biggest obstacle to resolving these many, many crimes?
You know, I think, Michelle, it's a combination of everything. You've got police ineptitude. You've got an understaffed police department. You've got some members who, you know, and the authorities who may be corrupt or complicit in these crimes. I think that, unfortunately, as long as these victims are poor, you know, it's obvious there is like a silent cycle of discrimination. You know, there's an activist who helped me very much throughout the whole process. And she told me, you know, Teresa, it is a disgrace to be a woman in Ciudad Juarez, but it is a crime to be a poor woman. And I think she sums it up.
Do you think that this is a human rights issue?
I do think. And despite the fact that, you know, Amnesty International and many other organizations have become involved, I think that until the government of Mexico steps in and admits that there are other forces at work here, that this will not stop. You know, I think that there's some hope. There's some hope. You know, Felipe Calderon is coming in very strong, trying to tackle the drug cartels in Mexico. And I would think that he would want to take advantage of this opportunity to, you know, bring this to the forefront.
As you mentioned, this is just across the border. This is in Mexico. Is there anything that Americans can do to be helpful in this, who are concerned about the fact that so close to the United States that so many women are being subjected to this horrible, horrible treatment?
Well, first of all, I think that Americans should be very concerned because who's to say, Michelle, that one day this could not happen to a young American girl who goes down to Juarez for the weekend to have some fun and doesn't make it back? I think we should be very concerned as Americans and not just dismiss it because, oh, it's happening to these poor girls, you know, south of the border. That is not right. It's time to say, you know, enough. I think we as Americans have a responsibility to these other women who are there, who obviously are victims of discrimination because they are poor, because they don't have the financial means, their families, to hire investigators and attorneys to get to the bottom of these crimes. Let's write letters to the new president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, and ask that he address this issue and include it as part of his agenda under his new administration. Let's also address the issue, write letters to the governor of Chihuahua, the state of Chihuahua, Reyes Baeza. Hopefully, you know, they will listen this time. All these families, all that they want is justice. They want an end to the impunity and the indifference. They want to know things so simple as to why my daughter?
Yeah. Thank you, Teresa. Teresa Rodriguez, she's the co-host and correspondent for Univision's news magazine, Aquí y Ahora. Her new book is The Daughters of Juarez. It is available in English and Spanish. She joined us from member station WLRN in Miami. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.